When I got into the car today, I checked the ice, right? I looked at the road, and my dog and I walked down to the road at the end of our street just to make sure it was okay pretty early, and it was mostly powder, but there was icy spots. And as we went through, as I made my way here, there were a few places that you just had to kind of test out of wisdom, right? I grew up in the mountains of southwestern Virginia, and so driving in snow, driving in kind of difficult terrain is not something that is unusual for me. I kind of grew up doing that, and I've learned that sometimes it's okay to be a little afraid, right? Because fear is a bit of information. It's some kind of like saying, you know, this could break your leg, or this could be dangerous for you. And sometimes we develop a healthy fear, having had experiences from time to time. So we've been talking about fear as a part of our life. And as much as we're in celebration mode and we have this wonderful season in front of us, it is always a season that is actually kind of sticking its tongue out at all the darkness and the fear in the world. I don't mean to be gross by that, but is exactly what Advent says to what is ugly and harsh and says, we're in control. You should be afraid. So when I was in training to be a pastor, one of the things that many pastors go through, not all of us, but many of us go through specialized training in how to be with people when things are going terrible. And the training generally occurs inside of hospitals, but it occurs in other places. My training was in a hospital. And so for an intense period of time, we would go and care for people, you know, during the course of the day, but also we would gather together with mentors and leaders and teachers, and they would kind of process with us what was going on. And it was really helpful. But in one of those sessions, one of my colleagues was talking about some of her experiences, and this was not a person who had just kind of, fallen off the back of the turnip truck. Do you know what I mean? This was an experienced person who had a lot of life experience and a lot of experience in kind of dealing with really, really difficult situations. And so pretty grizzled. And she confessed to our group and to our teachers about how fear was with her as she entered into some of those situations. And she had some really difficult situations. There were, she worked in a children's hospital, and so she saw some really sad and difficult things in the midst of this, sometimes in the ER, other times where children were near death. And she confessed the fear that was there. And we talked about it, and one of the, I'm so glad she did because everybody else was feeling that way too. Some of you are nurses, you know, kind of know this experience of, like, I've got a job to do, but oof. So we were all kind of happy that she named it, but it was true. It was honest. Sometimes you go into these rooms with fear and trembling. Sometimes you go into situations with fear and trembling. Sometimes we face medical issues or our own kind of stuff or the audit, the whatever. You go with fear and trembling, right? And so one of the things that a really wise chaplain who had been around for a while said to all of us, she said, being afraid is part of it. Being scared is part of it. But you go scared. You go nonetheless. The fear is there, it's information to deal with, but you go. Now, I mentioned to you before that there are social scientists and psychologists who have identified at least four different areas, four different kind of responses that are just natural to occur when there is a fear stimulus around. Like, there's a snake. Oh my gosh, what do I do with the snake? There's Bill. Oh my gosh, what do I do with... I'm sorry. So the fear stimulus, right? And so there is a fight. You go get the hoe and you take care of the snake, you know. I don't know why I got a snake here. Hello, snake. It's nice to see you. You fight, right? Let's go. Or you run away from it, right? So that's fight, flight. And then there is one called freeze, which is, you might even stop breathing, you know. You'll eventually start back, hopefully, but, you know, it's just, I don't know what to do. Now, sometimes freeze is actually a little bit more than just kind of like freezing in the moment. Sometimes it's just feeling paralyzed in the face of whatever it is that is in front of you. I do not want to even take on this. I do not even want to think about this. I do not want to encounter this. Just... Another one is fawn. Now, this is one that has become more carefully understood as people began to understand interpersonal dynamics about things. So sometimes when there is a threat, particularly a person who's a threat, sometimes you might have an impulse to befriend that abuser, that tormentor, to, like, you know, try to control by being nice or complimentary, or we don't like what you're doing. We know that you're a really scary thing, but I'm going to try to flirt my way through this. Okay, those are four Fs. Fight, flight, freeze, fawn. But I think that our scriptures actually give us another F. To take that information, to look at what is going on and what is terrifying, but also to respond in faith. To respond in faith. When you hear Jeremiah, who was not a bullfrog, by the way, those of you who got that joke, thank you so very much. Jeremiah was a prophet, and he's called the weeping prophet. He gets instructions from God. That story that Desi just read is called the call story. He is being called into ministry. He is being called into service, and the Lord says, I want you to do this, and Jeremiah's response, like many human beings, like lots of the superheroes that we see in our scriptures, starts to argue with God, I can't do this. Don't ask me to do this. What does he say? He says, I'm a boy. Just don't. You know, I'm just a kid. Come on now. You wouldn't ask a kid to go in and face this. Let me read it real quickly. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, Lord God, Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. And the Lord responded, don't say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. Where what I tell you, you must say, don't be afraid of them, because I am with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord stretches out his hand, puts his hand on Jeremiah's lips, and says, here's the download. you know, here's the package of what I expect you to say. He was afraid. He offered the best immediate kind of responses, and still the Lord says, no, I want you to go, and I'm with you. I'm going with you. I'm going to give you what to do. Now, we also have examples inside the scriptures where people go and receive that kind of call, receive those sort of instructions, and they go for the back door. Like, I'm out of here. I am not, there's no way. We know people like that. If you listen to people's stories about their faith, sometimes there's all this negotiation that has to happen. And God responds in very different ways to different people at different times all the way through. Sometimes God is very patient. Sometimes God is like, no, go now. But the thing is, God does not say, go and good luck. God says, I'm going with you, and I'll give you what you need. This is going to be terrifying and awful. Take that fear. Be smart about this, but go. Go scared. Go into that hospital room. Go into that circumstance. Go into that Bible study. Go into that choir gathering. Go into those situations that we have an opportunity to love well and to serve well and to be God's agent. Go into those circumstances with yourself to heal, to find wholeness, to find comfort in the face of abuse. Go scared, but go. Mary is quite the example of this. Mary is a young woman. She lives in relative poverty in a time and a place where there is a foreign government that is in control of everything. And the people live in constant fear and abuse. She's a young woman. She has the hopes and aspirations of a young woman of her culture of that time, which would not have taken her that far. And here comes an angel. Blessed are you, Mary, most favored among women. For the Lord has looked at you and regarded you and has a job for you. Lucy Shaw, by the way, I do love books. I do love books. And Lucy Shaw is a great poet. She writes of this moment a poem that she calls Mary Considers Her Situation. What next, she wonders, with the angel disappearing and her room suddenly gone dark. The loneliness of her news possesses her. She ponders how to tell her mother. Can you imagine that? Still, the secret at her heart burns like a sun rising. How to hold it in, that which cannot be contained. She nestles into herself, half convinced it was some kind of good dream. She's a visionary. But then, part dazzled, part precedent, she hugs her body, a pod with a seed that will split her. Split her. That last line holds that danger, doesn't it? Physically, but also her world has blown open. She's in danger because a woman caught in adultery could have been stoned. She would have had an opportunity maybe to be quietly sort of set aside by her fiancé. That would have been a nice gesture, a kindness. But she would also be a woman without a husband in a world where that's not a good scenario. And here is the one who is coming. There's a popular song, Mark Lowry wrote it several years ago. You'll know it exactly when I say the title if you don't already have it in your mind. It's Mary, Did You Know, right? Poor girl, she knew more than probably we would, right? Heck yeah, she knew. Because she was living the fear in the midst of all that. And living the possibility. Notice what she does next. She finishes out this encounter with the angel, and she hightails it to see Elizabeth. That's what it says. She goes off to the Judean hillside, not to hide, not to kind of like, you know, wait this thing out. They used to send girls away when they got pregnant. Do you know these stories? She's not doing that. She went to see Elizabeth, and what happens? She encounters Elizabeth. The baby inside of Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy when she hears Mary's voice, and Mary breaks out into song. And she says, heck yeah, I know. And it's going to be amazing. Even in fear, she goes. So what I wanted to ask you to do today, your homework, your kind of gift of an assignment, is this whole series has been predicated on the idea of, what do you fear? What is it that fear is presenting you as information now? And particularly with that, how do you discern between the fears that are protective and the fears that are holding you back from transformation? Just as Mary was transformed, just as Jeremiah was transformed. How do you discern between the fears that are protective and the fears that are holding you back from the transformation that God is inviting you into now? And more importantly, and most fundamentally, how is God going with you into it? These are heavy days. Days to weigh out what is still yet to come. So I invite you to those questions. I invite you to go scared. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.